Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Bickley and Murata. Presented by Ramos Law Firm at ramoslaw.com.
Happy Black Monday, all you Valley football fans. Not such a Black Monday in the Valley, though, is it, Vinny?
No,
hi, Vinny.
It's bright and shiny.
Right.
And optimistic.
Clearly. Ah. Right. Bah, humbug. Clearly, all is well in Cardinal land. The only coaches who have lost their jobs after a 5-10-1 start is the defensive line coach and the assistant special teams coach.
If it ain't
don't.
Why fix it?
Why fix it? You know, it is what it is. It is Black Monday in the NFL. This is the day when head coaches get scapegoated, fired, sent packing, all of that. It's already claimed Freddie Kitchens. It's claimed
Pat Shurmur
in New York. Bruce Allen, president in Washington, is gone. We're waiting for the separation in Dallas with Jason Garrett. That has not yet happened. But Cliff Kingsbury made it clear today. Everything is cool. Vance Joseph's coming back. Nothing's changing.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by this. Mm-hmm. I will say, we've got a lot of ground to cover, obviously, to get into all of the things, not only about yesterday's game, but what lies ahead for the Arizona Cardinals as an organization. I'm not surprised by it, but I was very discouraged with what I saw yesterday on so many different fronts.
Oh, I can't wait to get into it. Why don't we get into it? Let's do it. Let's start the splash.
The splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The splash.
Yes, we start the splash with the Arizona Cardinals wrapping up their 2019 season with a 31-24 loss in Los Angeles against the Rams. Final NFL game, we think, ever played at the LA Coliseum. Who knows? The Raiders will end up there again sometime, won't they?
You think they're going to circle back?
Yeah, you never know.
Maybe
with that
like
organization.
8 years from now?
Oh, the Vegas thing didn't work out. They'll go to Oakland for a couple years, maybe land back in L.A. The Rams now have won, what is it, 6 straight games?
Against
the Arizona Cardinals.
That is correct.
This one was a little bit different because the Cardinals were competitive.
It was palatable.
But like I said, so many things discouraged me about that game yesterday.
Yeah, I can't wait to get into this.
We'll start with the quarterback. It was a question all week long. Will Kyler Murray be able to go with that gimpy hamstring?
And why was it so important for him to go with a gimpy hamstring?
And his revelation after the game, when he was asked, did you have to beg to be able to play? No, the coaches talked me into playing. What planet am I on? What was trying to be accomplished there?
I don't know.
Are you trying to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year? Is that what you're trying to do by putting your less than 100% top overall draft pick on the field in an absolutely meaningless game?
No, you know what you're trying to do? You're trying to not get blown out as usual against the Rams because you're in this war with perception. It's kind of hollow, if you ask me. It's kind of yucky. I agree with you. It did not rub me the right way either.
And if Kyler Murray is okay, quote-unquote, talked into playing by the coaches, and actually looks like he's close to 100%, okay.
Okay, fine. Did he look close to 100%?
No, not to me, he didn't.
And he said after the game he wasn't thinking about the hamstring. Really?
He was warming it up on the sidelines in between series. He had like a hamstring warmer. I should get one of those. I could use one of those. Getting out of bed now? Oh, my hamstrings!
It's broken! On the rare occasion where he moved in the pocket or out of the pocket, did he look close to healthy?
Not at all.
And then he leaves the game.
Because he got hit hard by Clay Matthews, and I thought, okay, finally they've got some sense here.
And they bring him back in the game. With the game on the line and a situation that calls for a Hail Mary, but he can't throw it because his funny bone hurts. I couldn't believe what I was watching yesterday.
Yeah, it was really, really weird. Yes, and we're going to get into it. I think the broad-based lesson out of this is just how much this football team needed that rookie quarterback to cover everyone's backside. How's that for a synopsis?
That's a great way to put it.
It seemed like that, and it seemed like it manifested its way all through December, all throughout the end of yesterday's game. I was a little bit perplexed myself why it was so important to play this kid. You could even hear Cliff Kingsbury's comments after the game. Called it the best game he's played all year because he gutted through an injury. And he spoke of how important it was to show your teammates you can play when you're not 100%. Like, what is going on here? I was with you on that. And to put him back in the game.
By the way, he damaged his offensive rookie of the year resume by playing.
Yeah, four turnovers, even though he lost his first two fumbles. You could argue, did either one of them belong on him? The pitch to Kenyon Drake, the bad snap.
That one I thought was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't pin a fumble on a guy who's not a ball carrier.
But he's still wearing a four turnover game.
Yeah. I mean, the interceptions were terrible.
Right. Yeah.
It was a frustrating way.
No, I'm with you. It was very odd.
What had been trending positively. Mm-hmm. So
right.
Cardinals end up 5-10-1. They will draft 8th overall coming up in April. And I know the tank crowd was certainly happy that they didn't pull out that win yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the Cardinals draft history is so glowing that you got to have optimism about that,
right,
too.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a little salty today.
No good.
Week in the NFL, it was an interesting week. In the last game of the regular season, I'll tell you what, the two games that Seattle and San Francisco played this year were among the two best games league-wide.
Incredible.
And last night in Seattle, San Francisco hangs on by half a yard to win the NFC West. In a game that is now being used to label Pete Carroll as the worst football coach in the history of the sport when it comes to game-ending situations from the one-yard line.
He's pretty bad. Let me ask you a question, because a lot of times we see the NFL officials mess up the end game situations when they've got to reset the play clock. Did they mess that up on Seattle? Because if not, that delay of game robbed us all of what I wanted to see. They were finally going to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch at the one-yard line with a game on the line. A huge game on the line.
I don't think they messed up.
All right.
And we've talked about this. I've asked Cliff Kingsbury about this. What are the guidelines used by the officials to reset the play clock? His answer to me was, I don't know. And I'm not pinning that on Cliff Kingsbury. It's just a very gray area. But on that play that led to the delay, George Fant was behind the play and he was injured. And he actually had to sprint injured to the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
So that all played a role in it. I do think Seattle was screwed by a non-pass interference call. That pass
they
to
were.
Hollister
yeah,
was
yeah.
clearly pass interference. And then you get Al Riveron coming out on a Monday again. Oh, yeah, we looked at it, but we didn't stop the game. You know what? Just stop the game. Even if it's cosmetic, stop the game and everybody feels better. Don't you think?
I do think. I also think.
And how could you look at that and definitively in real time say, no, that's not pass interference. It was clearly interference.
Yeah, I agree. I also think it was quite a studly hit from Dre Greenlaw at the end of the game. To stand up a guy like that.
And I don't think it was a great effort by Hollister.
No.
You have to contort your body to just get the ball over the plane.
You don't just crumple.
No.
And
no.
he crumpled.
Yeah. It was a great effort by Greenlaw and a lack of effort by Hollister.
Yeah. Exactly.
So the 49ers earn the division title. Seattle's going to play on wild card weekend. Some shocking losses. Miami beats New
Unreal.
England in New England to end up with 5 wins. The Miami Dolphins.
They went from people saying this might be the worst football team in history to their coach now maybe winning Coach of the Year honors.
I'm very curious to see how Brian Flores fares in all of that because the Dolphins caught fire after they traded their most talented players.
Yeah.
Tunsil gone. Minkah Fitzpatrick gone. Kenyon Drake gone. And that's when they started playing football.
Well, also when they benched a certain other quarterback.
Dallas, no playoffs for you. The Philadelphia Eagles, I have to tip my cap to them because that is a broken football team right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they found a way to win some games late. 9-7, champions of the NFC East. I think this might be one of the worst playoff teams we've ever seen in Philadelphia. Just because of the condition of their roster.
Yeah, no, I agree with
that. And they get a home game.
Yeah, and that's what's really... We're going to fire that back up this year. That's how unfair it is for a team like that to get to host a team like Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's not cool, because Philadelphia might win that game, and then Seattle's going to go, what just happened to our season?
Well,
Seattle's
also broken, too. Not as broken as Philadelphia, but
to
go on the road and play in weather conditions... Likely.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great scenario for Seattle. I mentioned Black Monday, some firings going down. Freddie Kitchens lasted a year in Cleveland. My favorite part of Cleveland's game yesterday in Cincinnati, before the game, the Browns are in the tunnel waiting to come out. Did you see this video?
I did.
And there's a Bengals fan razzing Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And he says, why don't you come down here and say that to my face? And the response from the Bengals fan was perfect. We're not allowed to do that. You know that.
Yeah. Isn't that a great slapback?
And then
it makes Baker Mayfield look so immature and stupid.
And then they lose to the Bengals, who have one win going in.
Yeah.
So we'll have a lot of recap.
And finally, I can't believe this, but I read that Freddie Kitchens was astounded that he got fired.
Yeah. Believed that he had organizational support.
Wow.
Freddie.
Just wow.
Somebody lied to you.
Right.
Do you not read the paper?
Yeah, this is, wow. That's why he needed to get fired right there.
Yeah, so a lot of recap of Week 17. The playoff field is set. We'll get into that as well. Coyotes last night. Things were looking good for a while. You have a 2-goal lead entering the third period. You shouldn't lose by 2 goals, but that's exactly what happened as they blow one to the Dallas Stars in a very frustrating performance last night.
Yeah, it was. To give up 4 third-period goals, that's indicative. This team's bounced back from previous setbacks. Games like this can be good to keep a team really grounded and focused. We'll see what they do with this one.
Yeah, college football over the weekend.
Woo!
The championship game is set. Battle of the Tigers, LSU and Clemson in the first game on Saturday. LSU absolutely embarrassed Oklahoma.
That was incredible.
If you blinked, it was over.
It was. What Joe Burrow and that offense did to Oklahoma was unreal. And I know a lot of Oregon fans are like, see, we would have done better. I don't know about that. That LSU offense is monstrous.
Oregon fans, you had your chance.
I know.
You lost to ASU.
The Fiesta Bowl was stunning to me because I don't know what the words to describe. Ohio State was dominating that game.
It felt like that game was going to follow the same pattern as the Peach Bowl did.
Yeah. And this Ryan Day head coach was just handing Brett Venables his lunch. It looked like that was going to happen.
Yeah.
How Clemson wrestled control of that game. And then for that touchdown to be reversed.
Well, the targeting call, the touchdown. I mean, there was a lot of
the targeting
calls.
Call was about as dirty of a play as I've ever seen.
I'm glad Clemson won the game, but I don't feel great about the way they won it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think they got a lot of assistance in that
they
game.
Did. They did.
Yeah, ASU's got their bowl game tomorrow, taking on Florida State in the we don't know who's actually going to play bowl. Isn't that the case for
that's
every
name of it? That's the official name.
Gotta get ready for that draft. Gotta get ready for it. Man, bowl games are a tough watch when they don't mean anything.
Well, it's the new reality, man.
And the Suns broke their losing streak over the weekend. They lost in frustrating fashion to Golden State on Friday night, one of the worst games of the year. Saturday, they won a nail biter, and the Suns' defensive strategy in end game situations is, man, I hope they miss. And that's what happened.
Sad. Yeah, I know.
A last wide open 3-point shot by a Harrison Barnes for Sacramento on Saturday night clanged off the rim, and that's how the Suns won
that.
The game. Did you see the reaction, Aaron Baines and Devin Booker after the game?
Yeah, it was classic.
Yeah,
it was absolutely classic.
Suns are in action tonight. That road trip continues in Portland against the Blazers. DeAndre Ayton not going to play.
What's going on with DeAndre Ayton?
Well,
we don't need to get into that today, do we? Jared wants to sink his teeth into this story. I can tell.
And they made it official today, Jarrett?
Yeah, sorry.
The D-backs made the Cole Calhoun signing official today.
Yeah.
As we play catch up.
Well, listen, and when we handicapped this, I thought this was going to be the way they went, because this fits the profile of what Mike Hazen wants. Strong defensive outfielder first.
Yeah. And he hits a lot of home runs.
And hits a lot of home runs.
He's a lot of similarities to stat line Steven Souza.
Yeah.
What he was ideally going to bring the Diamondbacks. But there you go. There's your splash. For Monday, December 30th, 2019, Cardinals lose in L.A. Time for some Big Red Reacts.
Bickley and Murata. Big Red Reacts. Reaction to yesterday's Cardinals game. Presented by Arizona Central Credit Union.
Yeah, last game ever at the L.A. Coliseum for the Rams. They'll move into their $20 billion stadium next year that they'll share with the Chargers. But final visit for the Cardinals, trying to break a losing streak to the Rams. The Rams would get the ball first, take over at their 25-yard line. Pretty methodical 12-play, 46-yard drive ended like this.
Now 47-yard field goal try by Zuerlein. Snap, ball is down. The kick is on the way. Has plenty of leg, and the kick is good.
Yep, 3-0 there after the field goal by Greg Zuerlein. Cardinals didn't do much on their first possession. They end up punting. The Rams looked like they were going 3-and-out. They made it 4-and-out. How did they do that? By an ill-advised fake punt from their own 23-yard line.
Barrow Cooper is the return man for the Cardinals, waiting for the ball at his 30-yard line. And it's a fake, running to the left, past the 20-yard line, and close to the first down at the 23. I don't know that they got it, though. It's really close. Nick Scott took the direct snap. And Dennis Gardeck made the tackle, and he did not get it. The Cardinals are going to take over on downs. It was weird the way Johnny Hecker was lined up.
Yeah, he wasn't lined up directly behind the center. Might have been a tip there. Gardeck and Fitz made the play. That was actually from the 17-yard line. And John Fossil gets credit as a great special teams coach, and I think that's deserved.
Not in that play.
But did you see Sean McVay's react? He got right into John Fossil's face.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? You didn't have to be a master lip reader to see that.
No, not at all. Two plays later, it turned into harm for the Rams.
Murray takes the snap, drops back the throw, fires deep middle, and it's caught for a touchdown by Arnold. He's got two touchdowns on the season. What a great throw by Kyler Murray to the open tight end.
The mighty Kyler Murray throwing the ball down the seam in the middle of the field.
Yeah, 23 yards on the touchdown from Murray to Arnold. Zane Gonzalez added the extra point, 7-3 at that point. That would take the action into the second quarter. The Rams go on a drive, get down into the Cardinals' red zone, and they get a rushing touchdown, but not from Todd Gurley.
So it is third down and goal on the three with Brown in it, running back. Woods in motion, right to left, handoff Brown, left side, squeaks through a hole at the one and powers his way into the end zone for the touchdown. He is a load. Malcolm Brown from 3 yards out on third down and goal, able to get the touchdown.
Yeah, the extra point by Zuerlein would make it 10-7 at that point, capping the 11-play 50-yard drive for the Rams. Cardinals didn't do much on their next possession. They punted back. Rams got a couple first downs on their next drive, but punted after a 39-yard punt to Johnny Hecker. Cardinals took over first and 10 at their own 16-yard line, and that's where they started getting a little generous with the football, Bick.
Drake is the lone setback. Under center is Kyler Murray. Cardinals down a field goal. 5:33 to go in the half. Murray pitches it to Drake. Fumbles the ball, and it's recovered by the Rams at the 8-yard line. Taylor Rapp falls on the loose football, and the Rams are going to have a first and goal.
Yeah, a little sloppy exchange there. They credit the fumble to Kyler Murray. He did his job. He took the snap and pitched it to the running back, Kenyon Drake. It bounced off his chest.
I know.
It should be a Kenyon Drake fumble.
Totally agree.
But anyway, three plays later, turned into more points for the Rams.
Third and goal on the 6. 4 minutes to go. 10-7 Rams lead. Three receivers left, one to the right. Goff takes the shotgun snap. Straight drop back, has time, dumps it off right side, wide open as Cooper Kupp catches it at the 1, walks in for a touchdown. A breakdown defensively, no one around Cooper Kupp. It's an easy touchdown for the Rams. Another third down conversion.
If you went back and looked at the touchdown passes that the Cardinals have given up this year, that play to Cooper Kupp, and you heard Dave Pasch, the disgust in his voice because he was so wide open, that is kind of the pattern of how wide open receivers were this year against this Cardinals pass defense.
Yeah.
17-7 at that point. Cardinals again sloppy with the football in the ensuing possession.
Second and 10 on the 39 of the Rams. Three receivers to the left of Kyler Murray, and they snap it to Murray. Ball's on the ground. Murray wasn't anticipating the snap, and it looks like the Cardinals, yep, it's another turnover. Trying to see who came out of the pile with it for the Rams.
Wow.
Corey Littleton has the ball as Kyler Murray was not ready for the snap.
This one would not turn into points. They had an attempt. Greg Zuerlein would miss a 47-yard field goal with just over a minute to go. Cardinals with a minute left and armed with timeouts actually put together a nice drive. They took over at their 37-yard line. They drove it all the way down to the Rams' 13-yard line and got some points via the right foot of Zane Gonzalez.
Here's the 31-yard field goal try by Gonzalez. It is up and good. It is 17-10 Rams with 4 seconds to go in the first half.
And that's the way the half would end, 17-10. Cardinals would get the ball out of the locker room with a chance to cut further into that lead. But again, another turnover.
Cardinals on the move to start the second half. The third down conversion now on first down. Kyler nearly picked off. It is. It gets behind Larry Fitzgerald and a sliding interception at the 10-yard line. I thought maybe the front man, the linebacker, had a beat on it, but instead it ends up being the DB with a Rams interception to start this second half.
Yeah, that's Dave Pasch doing his best Paul Calvisi impression.
Yeah.
No, it's actually... it's like the old baseball booth. Pasch in the first half, Calvisi in the second half.
That was odd, too. Dave Pasch just, see ya. I got a basketball game to broadcast.
Hey, when you're in demand, you got stuff to do, right? That one would not turn into points either. The Rams would end up punting back to the Cardinals. Cardinals, again, put together a nice drive. 10 plays, 88 yards on their next possession. And they were able to tie up the game.
Third and goal from the 3, and now it's empty as Christian Kirk motions out of the backfield. And Kyler signals for the snap, looking left, throws left, inside on a slant to Demir Bird, and it's a touchdown, Cardinals. Bird beats his man off the line to the spot. Kyler Murray on the money with a quick throw, and that is 6.
What a great throw by Kyler Murray.
Yeah, great throw by Murray. Great catch in traffic by Bird. Extra point would tie it at 17. Into the fourth quarter we'd go. That tie would not hold up as, once again, Cardinals had trouble defending a tight end.
Third and goal from the 3. Goff, a quick hitter, and it's a touchdown to the tight end as he beats Zeke Turner in coverage. Tyler Higbee on a quick hitter, a pop pass across the middle into the end zone for a Rams score.
You can't stop Tyler Higbee, Bick. You can only hope.
Certainly the Cardinals can't.
Tyler Higbee did have an amazing last month of the season.
Yeah, he sure did.
And it started with that game against the Cardinals when he had 2 touchdowns the first time they met. So that made it 24-17. Cardinals take over. Still plenty of time. 13:34 to go. And what do you know? Turnover number 4.
Kyler out of the gun. Time. He's going to rifle one down the middle over the head of Larry Fitzgerald and picked off at the 20. 25-30. And Taylor Rapp has it again across the 40 to the 43-yard line. Fitz was open. Kyler airmailed him for his second interception of the game.
Taylor Rapp is kind of like kryptonite to Kyler Murray.
Mm.
Was in the first game in Glendale, certainly was yesterday. That pick set up another Rams score. Goff finding one of his favorite targets.
Empty again. Goff quick throw again underneath. Robert Woods caught at the goal line. He's wrestled backwards looking for a signal. Touchdown Rams. Robert Woods breaks the plane after a quick slant from Jared Goff, and that'll be an 11-yard score.
Yeah, 2-touchdown lead at that point, 31-17. The Cardinals undaunted took over with under 8 minutes to go. Kyler Murray did put together a nice drive that ended this way.
3 receivers to the right. Now Dan Arnold in motion to the left. Snap, give to Drake. He's looking for daylight. Stime, he keeps the legs churning and powers his way into the end zone for a Cardinals touchdown.
Yeah, that would make it 31-24 with the extra point. 3:53 to go. Cardinals have to use their timeouts, but they do force a punt from the 45-yard line. They take over with exactly a minute to go. No timeouts. Figure they'll work the sidelines, right?
Nah. No.
Everything to the middle of the field. Weird first down play to Larry Fitzgerald that got them like 5 yards. And here was the final play of the game. from the 46-yard line. Hail Mary territory, right?
Nah.
Wrong.
Here's Fitz talking with Farrell Cooper. Kenyon Drake is actually in the game. Maybe give a little extra pass protection. And here you go, Wolf. They're going to throw it out to Demir Byrd, looking to pitch it to somebody. Circles back. He's thrown out of bounds. Ball is up. It is loose. It is on the turf. And it is recovered by the Rams as the whistle blows. And that'll do it. The clock expires on what looked to be some sort of hook and ladder.
Yeah, three fumbles, two interceptions, five turnovers on the day for the Arizona Cardinals. They still only lose by seven, but a loss is a loss is a loss.
Yep.
31-24, the final. Paul Calvisi, Dave Pasch on the calls on the Cardinals Radio Network. Coming up, Kyler Murray started all 16 games this season, Bick. Though apparently it took a little convincing to do so.
Oh boy.
We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Big Red Monday with Bickley and Murata, presented by Ramos Law Firm at ramoslaw.com. Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I mean, they had to, like, convince me just because, you know, I'm more concerned, you know, not wanting to, you know, injure it more. But at the same time, you know, I understood, you know, it is what it is. I'm a competitor. If I hurt it, I'm going to hurt it. So, you know, when I was out there, I wasn't really thinking about it.
Let that one sink in. I'm going to play it again, just the beginning part.
No, I mean, they had to, like, convince me just because, you know, I'm more of concerned, you know, not wanting to, you know, injure it more. But
Kyler Murray did play yesterday. He started. He started all 16 games for the Cardinals. I guess that will quiet some of the naysayers who thought Kyler Murray was too small to survive in the NFL. But to hear your starting quarterback say, yeah, the coaches had to convince me to play.
Yeah. I didn't like that a bit. One bit at all.
I love the, you know, if that was a game that meant something, I would have loved to just say, great job, Kyler Murray. Tough through it.
Way to gut it out.
He was clearly not close to 100%.
And he clearly did not want to play.
Yes.
I mean, to have to be talked into it, it makes you say, what was the importance of this game? And why was it so important? Now, I think what the answer would be from Cliff Kingsbury is we're trying to build a winning culture here. Okay, I get that. You could tell something was up hearing Cliff Kingsbury after the game praise Kyler Murray for playing injured. Like it was some badge of honor that he had to, that he had a pass, like a test that he had to prove he could do something like he just did.
Not bad. I mean, it was a deal where if he strained it more, he wouldn't have gone. He felt it, but really, you know, you saw he didn't try to take off. We didn't run him at all. He did a nice job of not kicking it in the fifth gear.
You know what phrase, what football phrase bothers me more than any other football phrase these days, right? We're going to put our players in position to be successful.
Yeah, that's right.
Where does that fall under that umbrella?
Doesn't.
You're going in with half of a quarterback.
Yeah.
The reason why your offense has looked better is because of the run game. That affected everything.
Yeah.
The Rams knew he wasn't going to run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, and I think the results were very mixed from Kyler Murray as purely a pocket passer. You've got a couple of interceptions. You've got a couple of fumbles he's got to wear. You got a four-turnover game. You had over 300 yards passing, and he made some plays like he always does, and that is good. I really think that there was a real strong commitment from the top that we can't get blown out again. We have to make sure that the Rams do not roll us, that we get out of this season in one piece. Because as it stands right now, the status quo, I think, is going to be accepted by a large amount of Cardinals fans. I'm reading some stuff about Vance Joseph being retained, and it's some of the players are happy about it. Corey Peters said we're trending in the right direction. There seems to be this this narrative that in recent weeks, Vance Joseph has dumbed things down a little bit, made things simpler, line of scrimmage reads, he kind of took out of the equation, and now what you've seen now is a team that's playing a little better.
Well,
so,
I mean,
so if it took that long to realize we put too much on these guys' plates, what does that tell you?
It's very frustrating because I don't think the Cardinals played well defensively yesterday, but they played with a little passion. There was some physicality. I mean, Buda Baker, he just throws his body around. Patrick Peterson actually played physically yesterday.
Except for that one touchdown, he could have exerted some contact on the play.
But
whatever.
But that's something we didn't see for most of the year, was a physical defense.
Okay.
And I agree with you. Why is that happening now? We'll get more into that.
We'll stay on Kyler Murray for now. I agree with you that it just didn't make any sense to me. Even going into the game, he was listed as a game time decision. And my mindset, as was a lot of people's, is that if he's a game time decision, there should be no decision at all.
No. Are you playing for something?
Yeah. I mean, and Brett Hundley in his appearance last week was pretty good.
He came in
and did
mid-drive and finished off a scoring drive. And there was a little bit of a lift. And, oh, by the way, he actually performed on a designed running play, which was the first time that had happened the whole game.
I thought the fact that they went back to Kyler Murray late kind of confirmed the weirdness of it all to me. That there was a hyperbolic need to not lose by a lot of points to the Rams. And I don't know why that perceptual victory. Well, I do know why. Because I think the Cardinals, from Michael Bidwill to Steve Keim to Cliff Kingsbury, they realized they had settled down the tempers here. The lynch mob, metaphorically speaking, had dispersed. Okay? And they didn't want to give anybody torches again.
Yeah.
But that's not the way to run a football team. It's not the way to manage a young man's career. So I'm like, the fact that Kyler Murray said that after the game is astonishing.
Well, it was especially weird because that last drive, they certainly didn't need Kyler Murray for those plays that they called.
No.
A couple of 3-yard passes.
I couldn't understand that either.
No.
I mean, he was clearly affected not only by the hamstring at that point. Here he was after the game talking about the hamstring, this courtesy of azcardinals.com.
You know, I couldn't really get out of the pocket and move like that. But, you know, for me, honestly, I think it helped me out just standing in there, going through reads, going through progressions. And like I said, you know, I think it's a teaching lesson, learning lesson for me. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of glad, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, I thought we played well today, despite, you know, two turnovers that kind of cost us.
He's he also banged his hand against a helmet during the game. Here he is talking about that.
Wasn't really expecting that at all. And then, you know, I kind of lost feeling in my thumb or my pinky. And that finger. So, I couldn't really throw the ball after that, except for, you know, I had to let it die down. But once it did, I was fine.
And then that last possession, the very curious last possession where the Cardinals had no timeouts and a minute to work with, needing a touchdown to tie.
Mm-hmm.
The last play, no Hail Mary. They throw the short pass to Damir Bird, and it turns into Lateral Fest 2019 and turns into turnover number 5.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray was asked, did that pinky limit you from throwing the Hail Mary?
No, I couldn't move, you know. I couldn't really it was tough just because I know I was going to have to roll out and get into it, and, you know, I was just kind of limited.
I will never understand why he was playing yesterday.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
We needed this play, but I couldn't do it, so we just did something else and ran the white flag up.
Yeah.
When you had a healthy quarterback on the sideline.
Who could have thrown the ball into the end zone? It doesn't make one bit of sense other than a team overly concerned with making a perceptual statement, and that, to me, it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's being a little bit too sensitive to the PR of all of it. And I'm not interested in that.
No, and I think you're right on the money, Bick. I really do.
It's what it is.
None of it adds up to me.
And if you remember the last week, Kyler Murray essentially took himself out of the game.
Yes.
Because he was just standing on the sidelines. There was no doctors like attending to him. He didn't go back to the locker room. He pretty much just like stood up, saw that he couldn't be quote unquote Kyler Murray anymore, and pretty much took himself out of the game.
Yeah.
Which just sounded like he knew that going into this game that he couldn't be Kyler Murray. So I guess if it was up to him, perhaps he wouldn't have played.
Yeah, pretty much sounds like that. And I don't understand the motivation I get that as rivals, Sean McVay, Cliff Kingsbury, they're friends, they're rivals. I get Cliff Kingsbury didn't want to get his doors blown off by Sean McVay again, but it just seemed to me that a lot of this stuff, listen to what Patrick Peterson said after the game about the defense and how they gelled late. He kind of made it seem like this whole year has just sort of been a trial anyways. It just seems to me that this, that the organizational hierarchy decided that this whole year was going to be a mulligan as long as it didn't get too bad. And those two games out of the bye week threw the wrench in everything. Because that got everybody angry, and that got everybody focusing on the GM's job. And as much as Steve Keim says he's got thick skin, nobody wants that to be a daily talking point around the Valley, and that's what that had become. Hence, why these last few games perceptually were so important to him. They're lucky that Kyler Murray didn't do more damage. The fact that they took him out of the game after that Clay Matthews hit was a moment where they were kind of like, okay, you know what? We better not push this anymore. Mm-hmm. Then they got the ball back. Hey, go back out there. Yeah, what? I'm with you, man.
We needed to throw these out passes.
Yeah. So in the scope of that, I didn't get any of that. In the long range, yeah, I think there's enough optimism going forward to make people feel good about where this team is going, because I think this quarterback is that good. But it just goes to show you how much they've used this quarterback to cover everybody's backside. Most everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with anything you just said.
I don't know.
Hey,
what
else explains it? We got our quarterback. That was the feeling back in April when they got him. And the feeling is no different because they didn't really accomplish much else this year.
Well, and the fact that they were that they gave him the ball from the jump, they named him starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you they're just packaging this as year one, we're just going to settle in.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yeah, very weird. The Cardinals, after yesterday's performance, finished in 32nd place in total defense. There's 32 teams in the NFL. Yet today, they announced they're bringing back their coordinator. Right move or wrong move? We'll get into it next. Bickley and Murata on this Big Red Monday, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Big Red Monday with Bickley and Murata, presented by Ramos Law Firm at ramoslaw.com. Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Said that you mentioned that the defense was top 10 in some metrics in the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Does that mean Vance will be back as defense coordinator?
Vance will be back.
I think he's under contract, so we played the last 3 weeks. I mean, we've been a top 10 defense in almost in every category. So, you know, early on, you know, having a new defense is just everybody getting used to one another. You know, this is kind of like a pre-trial of year four or so. But I'm proud of the way the guys fought each and every Sunday. I truly believe the sky's the limit for us. We just add a couple more pieces, dynamic players on this defense, on offense, special teams. And I really, really truly believe we can run the tables if we can stay healthy. Everybody come back in with the right mindset, finish off, start the season off the way we finished this season, and you never know what can happen.
That was Cliff Kingsbury today announcing Vance Joseph will be back for year two. As defensive coordinator Patrick Peterson yesterday, courtesy of azcardinals.com, talking about, you know, it was asked the question, did you guys play well enough to save Vance Joseph's job? And, yeah, Patrick Peterson said some things that are very true. The defense the last quarter of the season got better.
Mm-hmm.
Just like last year, though. When the offense, when the bar is on the floor, it's not that hard to raise the bar.
No, it's not.
Defensively, the bar was on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I could channel my inner Gambo right here. The defense is trash. It's garbage. I can't even watch it. I can't watch it.
Yeah.
Because it was. He is exactly right.
Yeah, it was.
For 12 games this year, it was terrible.
It was. Historically bad. Even yesterday, Vinny. And it was clear that both these coaches in yesterday's game, both of them wanted to win very, very badly. And it was for perception reasons. Neither team was going anywhere,
mm-hmm.
but Sean McVay desperately wanted to finish with a winning record.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
he wanted to avoid the Jeff Fisher
treatment. Yeah, exactly. But you look at this year, Rams, 424 yards of offense, 25 first downs. Tyler Higbee, another big game. And granted, he's done it against pretty much everybody in December. But you've got two premier tight ends in the NFC West now and a defense that has no idea how to cover them. Okay? To me, it becomes a question here of how much of this optimism do you as a football fan in the Valley feel comfortable swallowing? Okay, they didn't get blown out. Congratulations. Really? What do you want for that? That you played teams closer this year? How far is that going to take you? They're 5-10-1. They won 31% of their games this year. That's nothing, nothing to celebrate. Now, having a young quarterback who you think is going to be elite, that you can celebrate. But you have to realize having that young quarterback is what's allowing this team to return people whose job performance may not warrant returning.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty obvious.
I mean, I'll just ask the question. Are you surprised that Vance Joseph is coming
back? I'm not.
Back?
No, it became pretty clear to me about a week and a half ago that nothing was happening really to anybody of consequence. And on one hand, there's something to be said for having stability. But for a while, we were all wondering very publicly whether Vance Joseph knew what he was doing. And Mark Schlereth, who has a lot of history in Denver, it wasn't exactly giving him glowing recommendations. Yeah, he's all right. It's okay. It's kind of like that commercial, that guy who comes in to do surgery. Hey, you ready? You ever worked with that doctor before? Yeah, he's okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, just okay. All right, I'll see you in there.
Guess who just got reinstated?
That's right.
Not officially yet.
Yeah. That's right. So that would be Vance Joseph. That Vance Joseph is that guy.
Yeah,
and I don't mean to be over the top here because he's a nice guy, but he better know what he's doing. And for Michael Bidwell to say, okay, we're going to bring this general manager back. All right. Well, you got the eighth pick in the draft. Let's try not to screw it up this time.
That's the question. And you heard it in that cut, and it stood out to you, and it stands out to everybody that hears that soundbite from Patrick Peterson. This was kind of a pre-trial year.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this whole thing has just been rigged. And the only one who didn't know it was the media and the fans.
Yeah.
You know? Seriously.
You have zero expectation on you this year.
Right.
Because we checked one box of the needs that we had as a football team.
I told the owner that we bottomed out. This is going to be 2 years minimum. We're bringing in a new head coach, a rookie quarterback. The fact that they were willing, and I agreed with the move because I wanted to see Kyler Murray play. But I was coming at it from an entertainment fan standpoint. As an organization, wouldn't you want to kind of make sure the kid could do it before you gave him the job? The reason why is because this thing, I think, was staged and built out as a two-year window. Mm-hmm. That nothing, it's not going to be good in year one, but we're going to settle in. And we're going to see what works and throw out what doesn't. And by year two, we're going to be rolling. Okay. They got the quarterback who makes this plan palatable to people. It's really just for Cardinal fans, football fans, it's really a matter of how much of this you want to swallow going forward. Because 5-10-1 speaks for itself. And the NFC West, the quality of the NFC West speaks for itself.
Yeah. Here's Cliff Kingsbury today in his season-ending media session talking about the improvement of the defense.
There was definitely progress. The last quarter was much improved. I think when you look at that, it has to rank top 10 around that area in the league as far as the defense we played. And you know, having Patrick get his legs back underneath and playing at a high level obviously helped. And then young players learning our scheme, getting more reps. I mean, there's a lot of things. But I was really impressed with the effort and the improvement that we showed in that last quarter.
All right, so this whole thought of Patrick Peterson, quote-unquote, getting his legs back. You heard him picked up by the parabolic mics yesterday saying, you're talking to Sean McVay on the sideline. Hey, I got my legs back. You got to quit trying me. I'm going to get one on you. Getting your legs back. He was not dealing with an injury.
No.
He missed six games. He played, what, three good games?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the year?
Yeah. And
should it take 7 weeks for a professional athlete to get his legs back?
Not if you're Patrick Peterson.
I don't think so either.
No, so a lot of that is just a lot of this. But then again, that might be kind of in line to, and I think the suspension to Patrick Peterson is kind of really what kicked this plan in. I think going in, Steve Keim sold this as 2 years minimum to Michael Bidwell. But I think the Patrick Peterson suspension really kicked in this idea that, okay, you know what? We're just going to hang on. We're going to try to compete. Judge us on how we compete. And hence what you saw in December, why that was so important, and why coming out of the bye week, those final 5 weeks were so important to Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, we saw it yesterday. The playing of Kyler Murray seemed nonsensical to me. Leaving him out there, I thought for sure it was going to be one half and done. When I saw him in the first half, I thought they're not going to mess around with this too much longer. And they did.
In this age of teams, athletes, trainers, coaches being overcautious when it comes to injury.
Yeah.
It just didn't make much sense to me either.
Because the only way it makes sense, Vinny, is if the kid, if you know Kyler Murray has issues in diva issues when it comes to not playing with nicks and bruises and all of that. But I've not seen anything like that from Kyler Murray. Now, there have been times when I've wondered how much does this guy, does he avoid contact enough to the point where this is going to become an impediment to his leadership skills and to his NFL career? And there were times earlier this year where I wondered about that. Near the end, he was running with the ferocity that he didn't carry early on, and he got hurt. He got hurt doing that. And then we saw what happened yesterday. There was a time yesterday he sat down on a sack, and I forget who it was, but you could tell the Rams defensive player was yapping at him, and I'm sure what he was saying to him was kind of like, come on, get up, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is this. I think it's cool that Kyler Murray got through an entire season. I don't think the Cardinals wanted to be able to say, look, our quarterback played all 16 games. Look, we made the right move. I think everybody knows the Cardinals made the right move. I think the Cardinals were just deathly afraid of getting boat raced yesterday and then leaving this season the same way, with it sounding the same way it did 4 weeks ago around here. That's what they didn't want.
I can't disagree with anything that you said, because that walking away from that game, that certainly seems like that was the recipe.
Yeah, that's I want this team to be as successful as anybody, but this is what I see. This is what jumps out to me.
Yeah, so 5-10-1 is where the Cardinals end up after 2019. And if you want to judge it, I mean, using the scenario that you just laid out, Bick,
mm-hmm.
There was progress made. They were more competitive. There was really only one game where they were not competitive, and that was the first game against the Rams. They did make progress in the second go-around against all three division opponents, in fact, winning one of those games. So, yeah, are we being overly critical? Maybe, but again, you were looking for competitiveness at the beginning of the year. Many people said that.
Mm-hmm.
I predicted 5 wins. I don't sound like a guy who's satisfied by getting my prediction right, certainly. It's just the last chapter of this year, I think, undid a lot of the optimism moving forward for a number of different reasons. The fact of the matter is there is so much work to be done mm-hmm. on this roster.
Well, there's this is what I really hope everybody realizes, that you can take the optimism from this quarterback and put it in a box and or have it be your shining light the entire offseason. I think that will be the case for me. But I think that you have to look the difference in the NFL at winning close games and beating good teams is profoundly different than being competitive and losing by 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I've already seen it. How close the Cardinals have played opponents outside the month of September. They only lost by an average of XXX, fill in the blank. That doesn't do any good. That doesn't do anything for me. Okay, nothing. I'm glad you're being competitive. Guess what? You're supposed to be. Your job,
especially when you watch the games and you see that they actually had the chance to tie or win some of these games and they didn't.
They some of the worst football they played were in those extremely high leverage moments that they didn't even expect to be in, and they didn't do well in those. And they still have to prove they can play well in those moments.
Yeah, it is a big Red Monday post-mortem edition as the season has come to an end for the Arizona Cardinals. We'll open up the phone lines next, 602-260-9870. Your thoughts on the game yesterday, the season as a whole, and the future moving forward. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.